Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
So tonight we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, Text 29. Jara marana mokshaya mam ashritya yatanti ye te brahma tad vidu kritsnam adyatmam karma chakilam. Translation. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman, because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Birth, death, old age, and diseases affect this material body, but not the spiritual body. There is no birth, death, old age, and disease for the spiritual body. So one who attains a spiritual body becomes one of the associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engages in eternal devotional service. He is really liberated. Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit. It is said that one should understand that he is Brahman, spirit soul. This Brahman conception of life is also in devotional service, as described in this verse. The pure devotees are transcendentally situated on the Brahman platform, and they know everything about transcendental activities. Four kinds of impure devotees who engage themselves in the transcendental service of the Lord achieve their respective goals, and by the grace of the Supreme Lord, when they're fully Krishna conscious, they actually enjoy spiritual association with the Supreme Lord. But those who are worshippers of demigods never reach the Supreme Lord in his supreme planet. Even the less intelligent Brahman-realized persons cannot reach the supreme planet of Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan. Only persons who perform activities in Krishna consciousness, mam ashritya, are actually entitled to be called Brahman, because they're actually endeavoring to reach the Krishna planet. Such persons have no misgivings about Krishna, and thus they are factually Brahman. Another paragraph. Those who are engaged in worshipping the form or archa of the Lord, or who are engaged in meditation on the Lord simply for liberation from material bondage, also know by the grace of the Lord the purports of Brahman, Adibhuta, etc., as explained by the Lord in the next chapter. This might sound a little complex. So the verse again, Jara Marana Mokshaya Mama Shritya Yatanti Ye Te Brahma Tad Vidu Kritsnam Adyatmam Karma Chakilam. intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death, take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. Om Gyanata Mirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshu Milajam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Anchakalpatarupyas Chakripa Sindhubyevacha Patidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the end of the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada made mention at the end of the purport that here, Lord Krishna is briefly mentioning some of the subjects which are going to be described at length or in detail in the following chapter, the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna here mentions Brahma, spirit, Adhyatma, that which is spiritual, that which is of the spiritual nature, and karma, activities. And in fact, the whole next chapter, 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is called Attaining the Supreme, and it is all about how one can prepare for one's next life, or even how one can actually become ready for meeting the time of death. Yes, some people think that this is a rather morbid outlook to think about death, and they would like to just forget about it, and just become completely absorbed in material activities on the bodily platform, not on the spiritual platform, just immerse themselves like that. And as far as things like what Prabhupada mentions at the beginning of the purport, birth, death, old age, and disease, try and forget those things. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. The 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna talks, he mentions these things. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. Birth, death, old age, and disease. These are the fundamental realities of life in this material world. And dukkha doshanu darshanam. Dukkha, I think some of you understand a little Hindi. So you would know this word dukkh. You understand a little Hindi? I know you don't. Yeah, dukkh. Dukkha. Suffering. And dosha means fault, something is wrong. And darshan, I think we know this word darshan means that we come before someone and we can see them. We have darshan, of course, normally we use this term in regard to visiting the temple. Then we go to the temple and we have darshan, just like here we're seeing. We've made a little temporary altar, but it has very nice pictures of the in the middle, the deities from our temple in Chatsworth, Sri Sri Radha Radhana. So we are having darshan, we are seeing Krishna and Radharani. But that excerpt from that verse that I just quoted, Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi Dukado Shanu Darshanam, what darshan will you get in this material world? That darshan, you will get darshan of dukkha, dukkha, suffering, and dosha, fault. That's what life in this material world is all about. Sometimes I mention how one of my devotee friends, he married one young woman, and she was from a Russian background, although she was not Russian directly, but her background was that. And her name in Russian, her surname was Duke. And her first name was Tamara. So what was her name? Tamara Duke. If you know a little Hindi even, you would know that's a rather ironic name. Tamara Duke, your suffering. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that life within this material world, it is something like that. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukadoshanu Darshanam. Very poetic, it flows very nicely. Dukadoshanu Darshanam. But it means that if you stick around in this material world, you will have darshan. You will get to see a lot of problems. Let us face it that here in this material world, here in our so-called New South Africa, blissful New South Africa, there are many problems. We were with some devotees on Wednesday in Phoenix, and there were a number of devotees there. One family came late. And why had they come late? Because they had to visit a relative before they came. But the next door or across the road neighbor of the relative had just been hijacked and killed, actually. And there were police everywhere. The road was cordoned off and all that. Of course, I heard, I know, don't quote me on this, but I heard that the police wait at least half an hour before they come, just in case, just so they don't meet those fellows themselves. Because anyway, if you're a policeman or related to one, just please don't mind. But I know it happened in Chatsworth. I read last week that the Chatsworth police station is, or has been, the most corrupt in South Africa and possibly in the world. And I forget all the details, but you know, there's so many stolen cars, and some of them get recovered. So they would bring them in, and they wouldn't tell the owners. They would sell the parts as spare parts. So they had a roaring trade going on of second-hand car parts. Anyway, enough of politics, but we're not really political. We're not political, even. But we know something silly when we see it. So it's like that. Dukadosh anudarshanam. Yes. People are having darshan. People are getting to see so many problems. So many problems. Working hard, but it's very hard to make ends meet. It's very hard. And if you make ends meet, and if you're living comfortably, then the hijackers or their friends, the burglars, they are watching out, and they'll move in on you. So it's like that. So therefore in this verse, Lord Krishna says that jara marana mokshaya, intelligent people are trying to get jara, that means old age, marana, death, mokshaya. They're trying to get liberation from these things. They're not sticking around in this material world, trying to make some very comfortable and very nice situation in the material world, as if this were our permanent place, and as if this were really a very nice place to be. They're not doing that. Not that they're living under trees either, just giving up everything, but just living a more simple way of life. A more simple way of life. And a way of life in which they're trying to achieve moksha. Moksha means liberation. Trying to get free from these things. Yes, this is really a worthy effort to try to get free from this. Janma mrityu jara vyadi, birth, death, old age and disease. And trying to come to a higher platform. What is that higher platform? That platform is satchit ananda, eternal life, full of bliss and full of knowledge. That is what is there in spiritual life. That is what Bhagavad Gita is trying to explain to us. That we should not just stick around working very hard, trying to make ends meet, struggling like that, until finally, eventually we die and we lose everything. We shouldn't just be focusing like that. But rather, an intelligent person, jara marana mokshaya, an intelligent person is trying to become liberated from these things and come to a higher level of existence, that eternal level of existence, which is there in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Yes, so this is what religion is about. This is what Bhagavad Gita is about. This is what Krishna is about. How to come to this higher platform and get free of all the difficulties and so on and so forth. Dukkha dosh anudarshanam. All the difficulties, all the faults that are here in the material world. Particularly in this age, because this age that we're in, this is called the age of Kali, the Kali Yuga. There's one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prayanal Payusha Sabya Kalavasmin Yugejana Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hupadrita, that in this iron age of Kali, people are but short-lived. They're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, they're always disturbed. Yes, so we've talked about this already, basically. Janma mrityu jara vyadi, all the dukkha, all the problems. That is what material life is about, and people are struggling to find a little happiness. But it's only a little. Chapala sukha, flickering happiness. So an intelligent person will understand. An intelligent person will see this and want to know, how can I make a solution? How can I find true happiness? How can I solve all these problems of life? like birth, death, old age, and disease. These are the fundamental problems. So that is what religion is about. That is what Krishna consciousness is about. Religion is not, as Prabhupada mentions here, people who worship the devas and devis, or Prabhupada would say the demigods. Those people who are the controllers of this universe. Just like you may know, in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, there is one pastime of Krishna's called the Govardhan Leela. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill on the little finger of his left hand and held it for 7 days in order to protect his family members and devotees from a terrible rainstorm sent by Lord Indra. Perhaps you've heard of Lord Indra. He is one of the controllers of this universe, and particularly he is controlling rain. I think we must be, we must be in his good books here in and around Durban these days, because we're getting plenty of rain. In fact, we're getting too much. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. Sometimes there's not enough rain and it's too dry. Suddenly you get too much rain and people are getting washed away and things are getting messed up. This is Kali Yuga. Everything is unsettled. But anyway, in that pastime of the lifting of Govardhan Hill, then Lord Krishna's family members, because they are farming people. Lord Krishna, he is known as Gopal. You may know that. You may know the song, Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya, a popular song. So, he is referred to there as Gopal. Go means cows. And Pala means one who protects. So Gopal means he who protects the cows. You probably know Krishna did not eat the cows. He didn't eat the cows. I don't know how you're doing here around Tinley Manor, but in most of the rest of the world, people are eating cows. One of our devotees one time, Giriraj Swami, he's a very nice devotee, old devotee. He was in India and meeting many of the wealthy, affluent people and making them members, making them patrons and members of our movement. So there was one particular family, I forget the name of the family, but they're a very pious, traditional Hindu family, if you know what I mean. Very pious and cultured. And part and parcel of that was they were vegetarian. Yes, in India. That is the tradition. That is the tradition. People were vegetarian. So nowadays, or anyway, that was back maybe 25 years ago. So this family, very cultured and good family, an extremely wealthy family. They were vegetarian. So this particular devotee, Giriraj Swami, he got to meet all the members of the family. Husband, wife, children, and grandchildren, and uncles and aunts and nephews and nieces, the whole picture, quite a big picture. So one time he had to visit London in England, and he was on the main street of London doing something, walking down the street, He passed one McDonald's. Do you have a McDonald's in Tinley Manor Beach? Not yet. Anyway, you know, you all know about McDonald's. In America, they boast billions served. Killing so many innocent animals. Anyway, this devotee walked past a McDonald's. And what should happen? But one of the young sons. Young means in his early 20s. One of the young sons from that very pious and cultured and, you know, very nice, dignified, prominent family and vegetarian family. He just walked right out of the McDonald's, straight into Giriraj Swami. They almost hit each other. And it was a surprise. Oh, what are you doing here in London? For both of them, because normally they were in India. So Giriraj Swami didn't say anything yet. He just looked at the young man, surprised. And the young man looked at him. And the young man said, English cows are different from Indian cows. Even before he said hello. Because he knew we have a little controversial situation here, possibly. English cows are different from Indian cows. Yes. Anyway, what we're saying, though, is Krishna, he is Gopal. He is the protector of the cows. And he is Govinda. Govinda means he is the lord of the cows. This is Krishna. So, in that Govardhan pastime, the parents of Krishna, they were in the habit, the practice, it was their tradition that every year they would have a special Indra Puja, Indra Yajna, some ceremony for worshipping Indra, who is in charge of the rain, because they're farming people, and they're dependent on rain, of course. So this was their practice, to do like that. And Krishna came along, and he saw they were making preparations for that. And he asked his father, at the time Krishna is only 7 years old, but Krishna asked, Father, what are you doing here? You're preparing for some ceremony. What's it all about? Please explain. So his father explained that, like we've said, this is for Indra, so we can get rain, because we are farming people. We need rain. We do this every year. So Krishna said, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to worship Indra. Krishna, basically, it's a bit of a long story, but Krishna said, basically, just worship me. Just like in the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parichyaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. He says, just give up all your other dharmas, all your other religious activities and so on. Just give them all up and Mam Ekam Sharanam. Just take shelter of me only. Ekam. Yes. And Krishna says, if you do that, Aham Tvam Sarva Pap, I will take all your pap, all your sinful reactions, and mokshayishyami, you will be liberated from your entanglement within this world. Just like here in this verse we're reading tonight. Krishna says, Jara Marana then, Aham, he says, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo. I'll take all your pap, all your sin, all your sinful reactions, and Mokshayishyami. And you will be liberated. Ma Suchaha. You don't need to worry. So Krishna explained like this to his father and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan that to worship this Indra who is in charge of rain is not really necessary. Just worship me. Why? Why worship Krishna? Because he is actually the Supreme Personality. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. A little later on in Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, Krishna says that I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. And those wise people who understand this, they surrender to me. They render service to me with all their hearts, in a mood of love. Yes. So, Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is explaining like this, that he is actually the Supreme Person. There are many great people greater than us, like Indra. He is in charge of the rain. Like Surya, he is in charge of the sun. Like Vayu, he is in charge of the wind. And so many others, like Ganesh, he is very popular for removing obstacles and things like that. Yes. So there are all these different personalities in charge of different of the universal affairs, different departments within the universe. But Krishna says, in fact, in this same chapter, 7 of the Bhagavad Gita, just a few verses before, verse 7, Krishna says, Mata parataram nanyat. Kinchidasti dananjaya, mai sarvamidam protam, sutre mani gana iva. O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is making it clear, actually, in numerous places, both directly and indirectly also. Like we mentioned at the end, he says, Sarvadharma Prachaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam. Give up all other dharmas and just surrender to me only. So indirectly, in that statement, Krishna's indirectly saying, that the dharma of worshipping me is the highest dharma. Because you should give up other dharmas and focus on me alone. Yes, like this. So anyway, we were saying that there in that Govardhan Leela, Lord Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, his father, you don't need to perform this Indra Puja. You just worship me. Because all these other people who are in charge of all the different departments, like the waterworks, that's Indra, the rain department. Yes, all these other departments, the money department, Lakshmi, all these other great persons, very great persons, much greater than us. all these great persons who are supplying all these different specific things, they're all under me. And if you simply approach me, then by my mercy, you can get whatever any of the others have to offer, because they're under me, Krishna explained. And all he has to say, he just has to tell, you know, if you need a little money, he just has to tell Lakshmi, go on, give him a little. Give him a little. And she'll immediately do it. But if you want to please Lakshmi, of course, Hindu people, they're very fond of worshipping Lakshmi, we all know that. They have the light there, the lamp in the house, usually. Lakshmi is there. But where is Narayan? Lakshmi is famous as the very chaste wife of Narayan. And in fact, if people, even nowadays in India, and traditionally in India, if a young man and young lady, when a young man and young lady get married, then they worship Lakshmi because she is famous as the ideal wife, perfect wife of Narayan. And if you get her mercy, then you can have a very happy household. But we see that generally people are worshipping Lakshmi without Narayan, independent of her husband. So, of course, now, you know, here in South Africa, it's a bit more like everything, anything goes. And, you know, men and women are mixing freely and divorce is becoming more popular in the Indian community and so on. But traditionally, these things were not really there. Certainly not so much. They were not there very much at all. So Lakshmi is famous as the ideal wife. And if she gives her mercy, she can give money, but she can also give stability between husband and wife. But the thing is, she is the ideal wife. And she, being the ideal wife, she does not like to be approached independent of her husband. This is traditional standard in India. And particularly, you can imagine, many of you ladies are married, I'm sure, and you can imagine what would it be like if you had all these men, when your husband goes to work, you're at home, and all these men are knocking at your door, saying, come on. How would that be? Anyway, you know what I mean. For a chaste wife, a good wife, even just a half-decent wife, it would be, just be a bit much, really. So therefore, Lakshmi is known as Chanchal. Chanchal Lakshmi. Chanchal means flickering, unsteady. She's here one moment, then she's gone. And we find this in this world. People are trying to get money. One of the favorite programs. How to get more money. In other words, how to get the mercy of Lakshmi. So, you may get some money, and you think, ah, Lakshmi, she just smiled on me. Soon as you turn around, I want some more. Then, oh, she's not there. She's not there. She's gone. She gave you something. But then she went. She's chanchal. She's unsteady. Why is she unsteady? Because she doesn't like to be separate from her husband. Oh, she doesn't like that. Actually, she can't tolerate it. So she knows it's her duty to give money if people worship. But as soon as they get their money, she's back with her husband and she's no longer with you. Yeah. So that's one reason why. It's very hard to get money in this world. And when you get it, it's hard to keep it, but it's very easy to lose it. There's a saying that a fool and his money are very easily parted. Yes. So it's like that. But Krishna, so you may pray to Lakshmi, give me, give me, give me. Give me a house and a car and a color TV. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. You may pray something like that. But it's not very stable. It's not very stable situation. Yes, but if Krishna, if Narayan, who is the husband of Lakshmi, if he says, give him some money, give her some money, and a regular supply of it, something like that, many people's dream, then she'll do it. And he doesn't have to beg her and plead with her and pray to her and bend over backwards before her. He just says, come on, give him. And immediately she'll do it. Because she's like that. She is his chaste wife. And all of them, like we mentioned Indra, he's in charge of the rain. So, but he's also a servant of Krishna. Because Krishna, he is the supreme person, like in the government. He's the spiritual equivalent of Thabo Mbeki. But he's a lot better. He would get my vote any time. Yeah. So he's the head, and all the others, they're under him. So if you need some rain, Krishna just tells Indra, all right, do it. And it's done. Yeah. So, this is a very important thing. And Krishna there, during that Govardhan Leela, Krishna, he explained this to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, that I am the supreme. All these people, they're very great people. They're not just little people like us. They're very great people. But Krishna explained, they are under me. And by my arrangement, you can get whatever they have to offer much more easily than yourself chasing after them, trying in this way and that to get a little mercy from them. So we just need to approach Krishna. Anyway, Krishna convinced them. So they gave up that Indra Puja. They stopped it. And they just worshipped Krishna, basically. And they worshipped Govardhan Hill. And then that Indra, somehow that Indra became a little confused. He sent a great storm to, somehow that he forgot Krishna is God. He sent a great storm to inundate Vrindavan because the inhabitants had given up that Indra Puja, his worship. So Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill on the little finger of his left hand and held it there for 7 days to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from this devastating rainstorm sent by Indra. So, who can lift a hill like that? That hill is about 25 kilometers around. It's a big hill. Krishna lifted it. He was only 7 years old. And he lifted it on the little finger of his left hand. Who can do that? No ordinary person can do that. But he is not an ordinary person. He is God. Nowadays, of course, we hear about many people who are meant to be incarnations of God. I don't know if you have a local one in Tinley Manor Beach, but you get them. In India, of course, particularly, they're very common. Yeah, they're very common. Just like... Anyway, I won't mention any names, but in India they're very common. Although the one who's particularly common here in South Africa is not well known in India. Not really. He's just, you know, an international celebrity. But not in India. It's very interesting. So if you meet, Prabhupada said in India, there are so many so-called incarnations of God. On every block you'll find them. Prabhupada said on every street, because it's a very competitive business, being accepted as God. Prabhupada said on every street corner you'll find an unemployed incarnation of God looking out for someone who he can try to make his follower and in that way make a living from. Yes, it's such a big thing. It's really like that. So, if you happen to meet someone who is meant to be an incarnation of God, don't just accept it like that. If someone walked in here and said, well, you know, we just had an election and I got voted the state president, so now you must pay your taxes to me, you can start right now. So you wouldn't accept so quickly. So why should we accept quickly someone as God? That's a very big thing, for someone to be accepted as God. But people are too easily accepting someone as an incarnation of God. But there may be many others who are claiming to be God also. There are many others. So what are you going to do? Have an election. Make it democratic. We will vote in every 3 years a new incarnation of God. I know it's a little silly, but it's kind of like that. It's all become very cheap. So we suggest that if you meet someone who's claiming to be God, then you ask them that, can you please lift Govardhan Hill? Can you please lift Govardhan Hill? Or at least maybe you can lift Table Mountain or something, some hill in the Drakensbergs. But do something. Do something to really show it, something convincing. So Krishna, he lifted Govardhan Hill on the little finger of his left hand, and he held it there for 7 days. In this way, he demonstrated the fact that he is not an ordinary person. He is superhuman. Actually, he is the supreme person. In fact, for him to lift a hill, even though it's a big hill, Govardhan Hill, 25 kilometers around, but for him to lift a hill is not a big thing. He is holding the planets in position. We have all these planets spinning around, but they're not colliding with each other. In fact, they follow very routine patterns, just like clockwork. It is quite amazing, actually. So that is all by the power of Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So religion is here. Religion is here not just to get some material things, to get some more money, to get better health. Oftentimes, so often, we have people approaching us saying, oh, I get headaches, will you pray for me? Or something like that. It's very common. Very common indeed. What is religion? A substitute for Disprin. Something like that. I'm serious. You know, oh God, give me a new BMW. Even a 3 series will do. So what does that mean? It's like God you know, rob a bank for me, become a bank robber or something like that. Isn't it? It's like that. Just reducing him to the common level. Oh God, give me a new husband. Let me trade this one in. Then what is he? God is the matchmaker, marriage broker. But it's like that. Oh God, get me a new house. He becomes your real estate agent. So religion, God, is something higher than that. Is something higher than that. Yes. Actually, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains who we are. You might think that, why do we need to have that explained? I know who I am. I'm, you know, Mr. X, Mr. Somebody from Tinley Manor Beach. That's who I am. And I'm 30 or 40 years old or something and whatnot. This is who I am. But Krishna explains, no, is not exactly like that. That is your body. Krishna explains, Najayate Mriyate Vakadachin, Nayan Bhutva Bhavata Vana Bhuya, Ajo Nitya Shashvato Yam Purano, Nahanyate Hanyamane Sharire. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. The soul never comes into being. The soul will never go out of being, cannot go out of being. The soul is eternal, ever-existing, undying, and primeval. And na hanyate, hanyamane sharire. He does not die when the body dies. So now in this lifetime, you may have a female body. Indian female body. I may have a white male body. Some other living entity has a dog's body. Like this. So many different types of bodies. But they are all like vehicles. Just as you, in your life as an adult, over a period of time, you will have one car, then another car, then another car, generally. 5 years, 10 years, or whatever. Every so often, you'll get a new car. So one day, you're driving down the road in your 1979 Datsun, stuck together with chewing gum, but still somehow getting down the road. Later on, you get your Mercedes-Benz. So when people see you driving down the road in your 1979 Datsun, they think, who is this? Look at this. But when you're cruising by in your big new Mercedes-Benz, when you're a bit older, and now you've become successful by material standards, now you're cruising down, same person. Cruising down the road in your big new Mercedes-Benz, and that same onlooker, that same person on the street sees you and thinks, oh, look at that. Mr. Big Time has arrived. But you're the same person driving the car. But the car has changed. But people are identifying with the car. Yes. So like that. The soul, that means we are eternal persons. But we have these temporary bodies. Now I have this type of body. In my next life, I don't know. In my previous life, I also don't know. We don't know where we have come from, where we are going. In the meantime, we think, oh, I have a white body. I am a white man. You have an Indian body. So you think, I am an Indian person. But what if next life, the eternal soul, me, the actual conscious person, what say in my next life? I get an Indian body. After all, here I am. I'm dressing in Indian clothes. Look at this. This is direct from India. Handmade. Mahatma Gandhi would be proud of me. This is hand-loomed. This is mutkar, raw silk, hand-loomed in India. So Mahatma Gandhi would be very happy, but many of Indian people, shall we say, they're wearing Levi's and, you know, whatever else. All the hot rod clothing, groovy, cool clothes, all this sort of stuff. Yeah, so, you know, and I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and you may be watching The Bold and the Beautiful. So you may be absorbed in Western culture. I may be trying to absorb myself in Indian culture. So in my next life, I may get an Indian body. But you, with your Bold and the Beautiful and Dallas, you may be born as J.R. or or his son or cousin or something like that. And then, there I was previously thinking, oh, I'm a white man, you're an Indian. But in the next life, the situations may have changed. So you may be thinking, now you're an Indian. You may be thinking, oh, now I'm a white man. And look at him, he's an Indian, but that's me. You get the idea. It's like that. Srila Prabhupada told the story of one man in India, and he was very poor, but somehow he became rich by kind of criminal means and sinful, very bad, hurt a lot of people, did a lot of wrong things. But he became rich. By the end of his life he was wealthy and he had a big house somewhere on top of a hill. And his family was there living with him. But then he died. So because he'd been very sinful and very bad and hurt a lot of people, caused a lot of people a lot of pain, so in his next life, he was born as a very poor person. This bad karma. He was born just on the street, nothing, just battling to stay alive. So somehow or other, you know, he got through his youth. But he just became a professional beggar. Then one day he was begging and he was born in the same town, in the same city he was born, but as a very poor person. So one day he was moving around the town begging, and he saw on top of the hill, big house, Lani house. And he thought, oh, let me go and beg there. Of course he didn't know. He's now in his next life. So when you're in your next life, you generally, usually you don't remember your previous life. So he didn't know that this was my house. So he went and knocked on the door. And some of his sons, now they're grown men, they opened the door. And of course they also obviously didn't know that this is our father from his previous life, but now he's ended up in this position. They just thought, here is some dirty beggar. So he begged, please, be kind. I'm very poor. Please give me something. But they were very arrogant and puffed up. And they thought, who is this dirty fellow? So they took some shoes and they beat him with the shoes and drove him away. Yeah. So it can be very ironic, actually. But the point is that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains we are all eternal spiritual persons. These bodies we have are just vehicles. And religion is not meant for simply providing things.